Okay, I'm just saying, this is one of those ideas we keep stepping on without meaning to. We do a whole episode about some weird model behavior, and then halfway through it's just conditional probability wearing a fake mustache.
Yeah, it's annoyingly everywhere. And because it's so small looking, people wave it off like it's obvious, then immediately get the direction wrong or miss the base rate and do something silly.
That is such an exploring next thing, honestly. We keep circling back to the same little math pebble, and it turns out half the room is tripping on it.
Right. So let's do the plain version. Probability just means how likely something is before you know anything extra. Conditional probability is what happens when you know something extra and you want the odds after that new fact lands.
So, like the weather example, you start with, say, a 30% rain guess, and then you see dark clouds, and you're like, okay, that changed the picture.
Exactly. You're not pretending the original guess never existed. You're saying, given this new piece of evidence, what should I believe now? That's the whole move. Think of it like this: you had the whole city of possible outcomes, and then B happens. Now you only care about the neighborhood where B is true. You shrink the universe, then ask how often it shows up inside it.
Okay, but why does the formula look so fussy? Why is it this ratio thing instead of just some vibe-based update?
Because the ratio is doing the shrinking. P of a given B is P of A and B together, divided by P of B. That denominator is the whole set of cases where B happened. So you're measuring A's share inside that smaller pile.
So the denominator is basically the ticket stub for the room you're standing in now.
Yeah, that's pretty good. If you know B happened, you're only counting the B worlds. Of those, how many also have A? That's why the division is there.
Let me make sure I'm not being dumb here. The little bar in P left parenthesis of vertical bar B right parenthesis just means given B right. Not some secret operator, not a model thing.
Right. Just given B and the clean red is probability of a given B, the bar is the condition, the thing you already know or assume is true.
Okay. And probability, just to keep us honest, is the chance of an event happening out of all the possible outcomes we're considering.
Exactly. You do not need a whole philosophy seminar for that. For today, that's enough to keep us moving.
Thank you for sparing the seminar. I was not emotionally prepared for a sample space monologue on a Wednesday.
You would survive. Barely.
So the big intuition is new evidence changes what world you're counting in. That's the part that makes it click for me.
And the thing people miss is that conditional probability is usually about dependence. If he tells you something useful about the odds move. If he tells you nothing, then nothing moves.
So that's independence, right? Like, the events are just doing their own thing.
Yeah. If knowing B doesn't change at all, then P of a given B equals P of A. In other words, the condition didn't buy you any extra information.
Right.
And that's why the idea matters. Real systems are full of things that are independent. The minute you have evidence, context, features, symptoms, words in a sentence, you're in conditional probability land whether you invited it or not.
That's the part that makes it feel less like math class and more like the actual world. You never get to see everything at once, so you're always updating from partial information.
Exactly. And if you want a tiny concrete version, think about a spam filter. It doesn't just ask, how likely is spam in general? It asks, how likely is spam given this email contains the word free and maybe a weird link and maybe it came from a pattern I've seen before?
Yeah, that's the product version of it. Nobody cares about the abstract odds if the filter can't use the clue sitting right there in front of it.
That's the Talon version of probability, yes. It has to ship into a user-facing decision or you get restless.
I mean, come on. If the clue is in the inbox, use the clue.
And this is where people start mixing up P of a given B with P of B given A. That swap is one of the classic face plants. Just because a symptom is common when a disease is present does not mean the disease is common when the symptom appears.
Wait, say that in less math dad language.
Sure. If lots of sick people have a cough, that tells you something about coughs when someone is sick. But if you see a cough in the wild, you still need to know how common the sickness is overall. That base rate matters.
Okay, that's the trap. You can't just reverse the arrow and pretend it's the same question.
Nope. The direction is the whole game. P of symptom given disease is a different thing from P of disease given symptom, and conditional probability is exactly the machinery that keeps those separate. And this is where Bayes' theorem shows up. We don't need the full formalism to get the point, but it's the algebra that lets you flip the question around. It's how you go from given the evidence, how likely is the cause, to given the cause, how likely is the evidence.
We did a whole episode on Bayes' adjacent thinking in the RLHF1, kind of, and this feels like the quieter little sibling that keeps all the doors open.
Yeah, Bayes is basically the upgrade path, but conditional probability is the piece you're standing on. If you don't understand the condition, the theorem is just decorative math.
Decorative math is such a savage phrase.
I know, but it's true. The reason Bayes works is still the same shrinking world idea. You're updating inside the subset of worlds to fit the evidence.
So if I've got the mental picture right, it's like a giant drawer full of outcomes and Bayes me saying, okay, empty out every drawer except the one where B happened.
Yes, that's exactly it. Then, inside the remaining drawer, ask how many of those outcomes also satisfy A.
Which is very unglamorous, but also weirdly satisfying. It's not mystical. It's just bookkeeping with consequences.
That's the nicest way anyone's ever described it, probably. And it's why machine learning leans on this stuff so hard. A classifier is often trying to estimate a conditional probability. What label should I expect given these features?
So the model is basically learning from data what tends to follow what?
More or less, yes. It's learning patterns of co-occurrence conditioned on input. In spam, the features are words and metadata. In a medical-ish setting, the features are test results or observations. In language models, the features are the previous tokens, and the model predicts the next token given that context.
Okay, that last one is the one everybody hears about and then somehow forgets is just conditional probability with a lot of machinery wrapped around it.
Exactly. The fancy part is the parameterization and the scale. The core question is still, given this context, what comes next and with what odds? Yeah, well, that's the show for you. We spend an hour making a tiny ratio feel like a life choice.
I cannot believe this is how we're spending a Wednesday, but honestly, it's a good Wednesday.